to turn this service over to Brother Cody Marks tonight. I want him to come. I want him to do what the Holy Ghost says. I want you to extend your hand. And I want you to say, Holy Ghost, preach to me. Let's give God some praise again. Let everything that had breath something very supernatural that is in this house tonight. Does Alabama believe in the supernatural? Yeah. Had it all planned out, mapped out. Someone paid me a visit today. So my only responsibility is to try to get you in a position that your faith is no longer wounded, but that your faith is soaring with the eagles, that you're able to receive what God is going to do in your cities in the next 6 months. The Holy Ghost is offended because some of you have underestimated him. He spoke to me in prayer this afternoon and said, some of you are already looking to 2010. You're already looking for the horizon of a new year. Because the last 6 months has been hell on earth. Every devil in hell has crawled out of every hole in your city and is attacking you from every direction. You've come to this meeting bruised, broken, beat up, discouraged, despondent, looking for a new year, 2010. We'll just get here. It's got to be a new year. But God wants me to remind you there's still 6 months left in this year. Everything that's refused to move and shift. I'm telling you what I know in the Holy Ghost. It's fixing to break into a million pieces. That's all right. You just keep fretting and worrying about it. If you don't believe in the prophetic, that's your business. I'm telling you, I don't care how long you've been dealing with it. I'm telling you right now, the Holy Ghost, when Jesus puts His hand in it and He decides to turn it around. Luke chapter number 18, if you've got your Bibles. I promise I did not see this coming. But I believe that this would be the perfect will of God for this service tonight. I give honor to the sponsors, this meeting, the steering committee. I also give honor to all of the saints of God that have been such a great part of pulling this off. And I have seen saints from several different churches working very hard before, throughout, and will be working very hard once this meeting concludes. And I want you to know that without you, that ARC could not be what ARC is. Give yourself a hand. I give honor to all of the ministering brethren, all of the evangelists that are in the house, pastors, to all of our speakers. This has been an incredible week. And I have fed on the word of the Lord. And I'm so thankful that these men have been obedient to God. And I'm going to leave here a different person. Do you feel that way tonight? Praise God. Luke chapter number 18 and verse number 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she said unto him, she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Verse number 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect, I've already made up my mind 10 minutes ago. I jumped. Before I ever got in the pulpit, I jumped. I refuse to be worried about the critics in this place. My mind is not on all the people that are connected via the internet that may want to be skeptical tonight. I could care less. I've already jumped. I'm committed. And if it's 10, 15, 20, or if it's this whole conference that decides to follow me tonight, the Holy Ghost is going to do a work in our midst before we leave this building. Shall not God avenge His own elect, which cried day and night unto him? Verse number 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. That's how fast it takes God to perform a spiritual U-turn. Bam. You can be going along having dealt with the same thing for 18 months. And in one day, you can go to bed fretting about it, having worried about it for a long season. But when God says, I'm getting involved, when God says, enough is enough, when God gets his can full, when God rises up off of his throne, I'm going to tell you something. You better not underestimate the next few moments of this service. You better not underestimate the spiritual significance of this meeting. Because some of you are going to come back next year if God tarries. And you're going to testify to the fact that the last 12 months was a breakthrough year for the state of Alabama. Telling you what I know, God's fixing to break into our finances. He's fixing to break into the battles that we have been fighting. He's fixing to break into the spiritual strongholds that have held. And if you're here from other states, if you're here from other cities, it doesn't matter if you're from the north, the south, the east, or the west of this state. I want you right now to say, I'm plugging into this because I'm here. I may not be from Alabama, but I chose to be here tonight. And I believe the spirit of this word is going back to California with me, going back to Mississippi with me, going back to Indiana. I don't know where we're going to go or how long you're going to let me preach. But for a little while, I want to preach tonight on the subject, the day that everything begins to change. The day that everything begins to change. Putting a whole lot on one service, no? Not when God's involved. Putting a whole lot on one little meeting, three nights out of the year, not when God's involved. Hello, I need some dialogue here tonight. I said, not when God's involved. If you're thankful for the word of the Lord, put your hands together and give God praise. I mean, give Him some high praise. Come on, give Him high praise. Come on, that's pretty good for a bunch of people at a ball game. I don't know if that's good enough for a bunch of people that have been saved and delivered and set free from the hold of the world. If you believe that God's going to activate the Avenger in your life tonight, before you leave this service, I want you to praise Him like you believe that. Praise God. You can be seated on the very edge of those padded chairs tonight.
Yes, sir.
I'm wondering, I don't know that theologically I'm totally correct, but I am wondering if there is a point that God goes ahead and makes his mind up when he sees that we've went ahead and made our mind up. I've seen too many situations. I've been involved and experienced, been close to too many deals where there's that wild-eyed, red-eyed, fanatical, Holy Ghost-filled, full of fire and faith, apostolic, that sets their mind to something. I wonder if there's some kind of connection that trips the activeness or the movement of God. I wonder if there's something that trips that desire in God to avenge us of our adversaries when he sees that predetermined spirit coming from us that says, I'm not backing up. I'm not just an asker, I'm a receiver. I'm not just a knocker, I'm an opener. He said, I would that men would pray always and not to faint. What are you talking about? What's it saying to us tonight? What kind of spiritual significance could this text possibly have to this conference tonight? I believe what God would say to us is this. Even though that we are living in a peculiar day, and even though the fight is on like it's never been on before, it's not time for us to become comfortable. We don't have time to be defeated in our own discouragement. We can't afford to back off the spiritual accelerator. It's not a day to back off of your consecration. I believe what God's saying is, when the battle's on, you got to get busy. Crises cannot cause you to cease. It cannot cause ceasing to your consistency. Do you hear what I'm saying right now? I said your crises cannot allow it to cause ceasing to come to your consistency. I want you to understand, if you take the spirit of Daniel and you continue to pray and you continue to be faithful and you can continue to do what you know is right, in that continuance, in that consistency, God will close the mouth of the lion. I want to know, is there anybody at ARC that's got your mind made up? I'm not taking a back seat. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to be deceptive. It falls my lot to stir you up tonight. It's not a time for apathy. It's not a time to become so discouraged that we just throw in the towel. We can't afford to go through the motions. We can't afford to relax and sip on a little tea as we lay in the hammock. No, 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 no. We got to turn the fire up. We got to do more for God than we've ever done. We've got to shout louder than we've ever shouted. We gotta dance. What are you doing? I'm trying to wipe the sweat off of somebody's brow. I'm trying to dab a little of the blood out of your face that's running down your nose. I know your vision's blurred. I know the devil's giving you your best shot, but I'm here to preach to you. You got to get back out in the ring. You got to pull the gloves back on. You got to have a predetermined spirit that says, I'm going through. I'm going. Come on, is there anybody got your mind made up that crises is not going to cause you to become silent? It's harder to hit a moving target. I don't know if you heard what I just said. I said it's harder to hit a moving target. Honey, you may be dealing with the mess of your life, but don't stand still. You got to keep moving. Come on, you got to shake yourself. You got too much invested in this to quit now. You're on the brink of the greatest miracle that you've ever seen in your life. Get back in the ring. Come on. Wipe your brow. Let the devil know you're in this for the long haul. He said, you can't relax. You can't let up. Well, Brother Myers said, that happened yet. I left last ARC believing that it was going to happen for us before we came to this ARC. I'm still dealing with the same junk I was dealing with last year. You going to help me tonight? Hello? I've been to the altar 15 times over this. I've been to the altar 25 times over. You got to keep moving, friend. You can't relax. It may be the 16th time. You may have to go back the 7th. But on the 7th time, he said, I see a cloud. Why would he get so excited over a cloud the size of a man's hand? I read somewhere in the Old Testament and it starts talking about the clouds and it describes the clouds. It gives this spiritual description of the clouds being the dust that is forming underneath the feet of God. You know what that prophet knew? When the servant came back and he seen the cloud, it may just have been the size of a man's hand, but the man of God knew he's on his way. That's the dust. He's on his way. It looks like a hand, but it's really his feet. It looks like a hand, but it's really his feet. Coming. I've got to get you re-engaged. I've got to get you to flip the switch back on. I've got to get you leaving tonight believing again. He's coming. It was just a little feeling. I hadn't seen any change yet. As far as I know, it's still going to be there when I get there Monday. But I've got this feeling. He's on his way. He's coming. It's just a cloud the size of a man's hand. But he's coming. I know he's coming. He's on his way. I want somebody to shout right now if you believe he's coming. Do you believe he's coming? Many launches from talking about the refusal to relax. And he begins to talk about a little lady that's got her mind made up. Thank you for what you preached Thursday morning, Brother Booker. A little lady that's got her mind made up. She's got her mind made up. I said she's got her mind made up. She's got some resolve in her spirit. There's a settledness way down deep down in her heart. A settledness that can't be shaken. A determination that says, I'm going to to knock until you answer the door. I'm going to mess with you until you vindicate. Our problem is we quit way too fast. We give in way too easy. You got to stay after him. You got to stay after him. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave. Avenge me. Avenge me. There needs to be a spirit that rises up Alabama, out of Alabama, that says, I'm not going to leave him alone until he gives us revival. I'm not going to leave him alone until he breaks the poverty. I want it. Hey, you're the only one that can do anything about it. Hey, it's me again. It's me again. Just keep walking. I've got my mind made up. I'm not going to leave you alone until you vindicate me of my adversaries. I don't care where you go, I'm going with you. You can't get away from me. I got your number. I know your name. Anybody know his name? I know your name. I know where you live at. He's standing at the mirror brushing his teeth. It's that stinking woman again. He just gets good and asleep and he hears something on the wall. It's that woman again. He's sitting down trying to eat his bacon and eggs in the morning. He can't eat his bacon and eggs. It's that woman again. He tries to leave. He tries to slip. He tries to slip out of the house and sneak off to the office. And somebody jumps out from behind the hedges. My God, it's that woman again. She follows him all the way to the office. Avenge me. Avenge me. I'm not going to leave you alone. I've got my mind made up until you get your mind made up. I'm here until you do something about this. I'm here until you do something. My God, there's got to be a spirit that rises up out of this state that God says, it's that Alabama Revival Conference again. It's those crazy people again. It's those Holy Ghost. It's those Holy Ghost filled people again. They won't leave me alone about revival. They won't leave. I'm talking about the last thing that leaves your lips before you drift off into sleep. The last thing that leaves your lips is, God, you said. You wake up in the middle of the night to get a drink out of the bottle of water and on your way back to the bed at 3 a.m. God, you said. The alarm goes off and you punch it, and as you're laying there, you get your finger out and you square your shoulders and you put your chin in the air again and you say, God, you said. You go to pray over your breakfast, and you can't pray over your breakfast for something coming all over you. And you say, God, you said. I want to know, is there anybody that's got your mind made up? You're going to know who I am before this is over with. We're going to become real acquainted before this is over with. You said.
You said. You said.
You said.
You said.
I could have gone a lot of places. I could have gone a lot of different directions. I could have dove off into a lot of stuff to try to deal with this misery. But God, I did come to you. There were others that turned to the bottle, and there were others that turned to the world, and there were others that walked out on everything that they had invested because they couldn't take it anymore. But God, I have come coming back. It's you that I'm after. I didn't go. Come on, has anybody got your mind made up that what I'm looking for is not in the world? What I'm looking for is not with the charismatics. God's got what I need, and I'm not going to leave Him alone until He avenges me of mine adversary. If you're easy to quit, and you plan on hanging around many of us around here, you're going to be miserable. Because I feel a spirit in this conference that says, you don't understand who you're messing with, God. And I ain't going to leave you alone. I want to move on, but I'm not convinced that everybody's there. I'm not backing up. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care how impossible it seems. I don't care how long it's been like it's been. I'm not backing up. I still believe that God wants revival to explode in the state of Alabama in an unprecedented manner. It's not a burnover field. Oh, I'll tell you something, just come on me right there. I said, this is not a burnover field. It's not a burnover field. We've not milked this thing for all it's worth. We've not seen our greatest days. You better hear me right now. This is not our greatest days. This is merely the foundation of what God's going. I'm trying to stir some of you that's you just said it. Well, I'll keep my little 100 people in. And you become this spiritual introvert. And you've said things from your pulpit and you've portrayed attitudes. I don't need anybody. I'm just going to go over here in my city and do my thing. And I'm going to keep my little 100 people, and we're going to have good church. And you better get to knocking back on that door again. God's got more than 100 people for you. God God's got more than 150 people for you. The race is on. There's going to be churches in Alabama that run 700 and 800 people. Who's going to get there first? Who's going to get there first? Well, Brother Marks, I've done everything I know to do, and I've tried all these programs, and I've brought special speakers in, and I've been here 15 years, and growth is slow, and you don't understand how the Bible Belt is. Don't give me that baloney about the Bible Belt. Jesus is the same yesterday and forever. The Holy Ghost is going to rock your community. The Holy Ghost is going to rock your city. Shake you out of that settledness. You used to have drive. You used to have drive about you. You used to really believe in revival. You used to really believe that God, what about all those things that God showed you when you first went to your city? How long has it been since you talked to your people about the dreams and visions you had of running 500 people? You scared to talk about it anymore because it hadn't happened yet? You afraid you're going to lose your credibility with your people because you keep talking about it and it ain't happened yet? I got news for you. You're going to lose your credibility with your people if you don't keep talking about it, because these people want revival. These people, we want revival. Every time you walk to that pulpit and you start talking about it again, you're trailing that judge. Avenge me of mine adversary. Every time you go... Come on. Come on. He's still working. And there comes a point that God says, okay, 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 there comes a point that God says, all right, I'm coming. I see you got your mind made up. I see you're not going to leave me alone about it. I see I'm not going to get anything done until I get done what I've promised you. I'm coming. Oh yeah. You don't know it. You're starting to realize it. But there's something walking into this meeting tonight. Uh-huh. Somebody's continual coming is fixing to meet its payday before we close the walls or close the doors on this conference tonight. That last little lap you did, done God in. That last little jig, that last little twirl, that last little shout pushed him over the edge. I'm coming. I'm coming. But the question is, when he gathers his stuff and he starts making his way to your city, as he walked into this service as an unexpected guest tonight. The question arises, when he gets there, will he find faith? When he finally decides to show up, when Alabama's payday finally comes, when 16 years of ARC perseverance, God says, okay, 16 years of it. And okay, I'm fixing now, after 16 years, I'm fixing to give you everything that you have persevered for. What's going to happen in the next 12 months in this state if God decides to pay us off for 16 years of perseverance? 16 years of preaching revival in the face of all kinds of unbelief. What does he mean? What does he mean when he says, when I get there, will I find faith? Faith is a very peculiar word there. I looked it up again right before I walked out here tonight, just double checking to see if I hadn't just missed something and found out that I was right. Basically, what the word faith there means is have you given in to evidence or given in to authority? In other words, when I decide to show up and vindicate you of your adversaries, will I find people that have fallen into the arms of the evidence of what looks like impossibility? Or will I find people that have fallen into the arms of authority? In the arms of a God that's got it all under control? Which way are you leaning? What I want to ask you tonight, whose headlines have you been reading? I'm not talking about the USA Today or the Birmingham News. I want to know, whose headlines have you been reading? Well, by your lazy boy at the house as you lay there and close your eyes. I want to know, what kind of headlines have you been pondering on? Are you pondering on the evidence of what looks like impossible? Are you pondering on the evidence of what looks like it's out of control and there's no way that God can turn it around? Are there any wild-eyed apostolics in this place that says, I have fallen in the arms of the authority of God, and I believe Him. I believe Him. When I get there, will I find people sucking on their thumbs and having themselves a pity party because it's not come to pass yet? When I get there, will I find people that are depressed and despondent and living under the spiritual darkness? When I get there, will I find people that no longer believe in revival? Or when I show up, am I going to find people that are still saying, God, you said, God, you said, God, you said, God, I believe. Come on. Which side of the line are you on tonight? If you're reading hell's headlines, why don't you jump on the other side tonight and say, His report says I'm healed. His report says I'm filled. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I'm praying this afternoon, trying to figure out, this evening, trying to figure out, get a feel on this service, trying to feel what God's doing. And I seen the biggest grove of trees you've ever seen in your life. They weren't little small saplings. They weren't little small yearlings. They weren't small trees. I'm talking about some big stuff. I'm talking about some stuff that's been alive for a while. I'm talking about some stuff with some roots. It was a vision. That's what I was looking at while I was praying. For you that word makes you nervous, then it was simply a visual. If vision is too spiritual for you, then I didn't have a vision. I just had a visual. And I knew as I was praying that this was some kind of growth that was a root system, that these were things that had stood in defiance for a long time. Somehow in my mind as I'm praying, I knew that these were obstacles. I knew that this was something in the way of God's people getting where they wanted to go. I couldn't see the road in front of them. I couldn't see daylight beyond them. But as I sat there cross-legged praying, all of a sudden right over in the corner of this building, I began to hear the wind of what I knew was the Holy Ghost. And in a matter of moments, I watched the wind uproot that. You to understand, I'm not afraid of the devils of your city. I'm not afraid of the defiant spirits that have withstood a move of God in this part of America. It takes one good move of God, one strong blowing wind of the Holy Ghost, and God can uproot every. Anybody believe what I'm preaching right now? God's going to blow some stuff out of here tonight. God's going to blow some stuff out of here tonight. Out of your life, out of your finances, out of your city. It's coming. I said I jumped. I said I wasn't going to be hesitant tonight. I was in a meeting, March 1997. In that meeting, some things happened. Brother Booker was there. I guess in all the services I've ever been in, probably was one of the most powerful services I've ever been in my life. There was a man there that night that had played a vital part to that point in the formidable years of my ministry. Several weeks prior to that meeting, he had been in a prayer meeting. And the Booker's going to remember this. In that prayer meeting, God showed this man I guess it was in a vision, in a prayer meeting, he showed this pastor a road. Wasn't a road that was empty, but there was a man that was walking down this road. Little old man. Over his back, he held a bag. Remember that? That was the same night that prayer warrior you've been talking about towards the close of that service. I guess it was from arthritis. It was one of the first miracles that I really seen right before my eyes. Her fingers were so swollen you couldn't even see the space between her fingers. When that move of God came down, I stood there and watched as they began to pray for her and her hands were raised. And I watched with these eyes. I watched space begin to appear between her fingers. I watched with these eyeballs.
Thank you.
Anyway, see, a couple of weeks prior to this meeting, he had this experience. He's seen this man carrying this bag. He said, he asked the Lord, he said, who is this and where is he going? What's this all about? He said the Lord spoke to him. And told him, said, this is the Avenger. Where's he going? What's in his bag? He's headed to the area. He's on his way to the churches connected to this meeting. What's in his bag? Within his bag is the answers to all the prayers that my people have prayed. In his bag is the fulfillment of prophecies, of prophetic things that I have spoken to my church. Within his bag is the vindication to smash the head of every enemy that has stood in opposition and defiance to the work and the progress of the work of God. I know, I understand it's 2009, I understand it's 12 years later. I know all that, but I've already jumped tonight. I've got nothing to lose. I'm very confident in what I feel is happening in Alabama, in this area, in this part of the country. It don't make me any difference who wants to criticize. In his bag is healings. Supernatural healings, miracles are in his bag. Where's he going? He's headed to the church. He's coming to the church. It's the Avenger. He's on his way. He's coming to God's people. He's coming to vindicate God's people. He's coming to answer the prayers. He's coming. Oh. I was just a young man. I'll never forget how powerful and profound. There's a lot of things that's happened since then. I can't fix all the stuff that's happened since then. I can just tell you how real it was then and how powerful and I know what happened there was real and it was right. And I'll never forget where I was standing in Gary Howard's church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. There were some things that happened during the course of that service. I'll never forget the preacher that gave the vision. He wadded up a coat and started walking around through that auditorium. Remember that? Telling him, what is it you want from God? Reach in there and get it. What is it? What is it you've been believing God for? Somewhere during the course of that night, he made his way up the side aisle. He got in my ear and began to pray with me. He said, I don't know what all this means. He said, I don't understand this. He said, I know you're just a young man. I wasn't traveling then, wasn't married then, was very young. He said, the Avenger's going to leave this building with you tonight. He said, it may be years down the road. And let me just preface what I'm fixing to do. I'm not saying this for self-gratification. I stand just like Paul. I can only tell you the things that I have seen and heard. If you want to buy into it, you can buy into it. If you don't want to believe it and you think I'm on some kind of a liar or on some kind of ego trip, that's your business. But if you want to buy into this, this is stuff that's really happened and stuff that's really going on. He says he's going home with you. He said, and you don't have to think about it or worry about it. He said, but somewhere down the road in your ministry, he said, periodically, this man will manifest itself where you're at. He said, God will give you some kind of sign. I've got the tape. I'm not saying there's anything more special about me than anybody else. I left that service. I'm just to tell you the truth. I was very humbled by what had happened, but I didn't know what was going to come out of it. And God knows I don't have time the rest of the night to tell you everything that's come out of it in the last 10 years. But I will tell you that when I left that service that night, I went home to a little small, we lived in a little small 1,500 square foot house. My dad was backslidden. I come in late that night after that service. Was by myself, walked down the hall, slipping in, being quiet. Didn't want to wake anybody up. His room was across from mine. I went into my bedroom and went to bed. The next morning, I woke up to my father shaking me, looking over the top of me. And you just got to understand my dad. When he's spooked, he's got this look in his eye. And he had this wild-eyed look in his eye, and he said, "Who came home with you last night?" "Nobody come home with me." He said, "No." He said, "There's something moving around this house. I'm about an old backslider." He said, "Something." "There's something," he said. I can't make it quite out all." He said, I don't remember exactly how he said it, but basically what he was telling me, he said, I can't make totally out exactly what I'm seeing, but there is something that came home with you from that meeting last night." Now you got to understand, I've been believing since a 5-year-old boy that God spoke to me that He was going to save my daddy. And I've been believing for 10 years that I was going to see my daddy get the Holy Ghost. I've been believing that. We haven't even talked about this. I need to go home and talk to my dad about this week. I need to refresh and remind him of all this stuff that happened. I'll never forget. I got a hold of the tape. I said, "It hit me. I remembered that." Yeah, somebody did come home with me. And that's where it began. I sat down that afternoon and I put that tape in. And I watched my backslidden father lean back in that couch. And when he began to realize that what came home with me was the vindication of prayers that I had been praying. Vindication of my mom's prayers. Vindication of my grandma's prayers. Vindication of everybody that had been praying for my dad. By the time we got to the end of it, I'm telling you the God's honest truth. Tears were running down my dad's face. And we had a Holy Ghost prayer meeting right there in the front living room of that house. I've come too far for you to tell me that God doesn't know how to vindicate His people. I'm not going to take a whole lot of time because I feel the faith building. And I could tell you stuff tonight that there's 90% of you that have trouble believing. It's not stuff I've seen, it's stuff people see. I never knew what was going to come out of it. Not much came out of it. But I was preaching for Brother Sutton. I went into a barbecue place, Jim and Nick's, on a Sunday afternoon, snuck in there, did not want my wife knowing that I was sneaking in there to get me a little Sunday afternoon pecan pie fix. I didn't know then that was going to place some kind of significance to this service tonight. I walk in. You had to go through the front, to the bar, to order. And so I just walked by the hostess, stepped up to the bar, ordered, went around and went to the restroom and came out. I gathered my stuff and I walked back past the hostess. And my phone rang, and I stopped, and I was trying to find it in my pocket. I was standing there in front of her, and I guess she was thinking that I was waiting to be seated. She had two menus in her hand. If you don't believe this, I give you the girl's name. I don't know if she still works there, but she'll validate what I'm telling you. She said, "You want to be seated? You and your friend want to be seated?" I said, "Well, first of all, I just come to get something to go." And it hadn't hit me. I didn't have spiritual things on my mind. I did have a service to preach in a couple of hours, but I had pecan pie on my mind. She said, table for two. I said, no, I don't need to be seated. She said, I'm by myself. She said, no, you're not by yourself. I said, yes, I am by myself. She said, no. She said, when you walked in, she said, there was a little old man that walked in behind you. You know, in Birmingham, Alabama. How's Brother Godwin do it? I believe God let that happen all the way back there so I could pull that out tonight and build your faith that God already had it predestinated for this Friday night of ARC to let you know I'm going to pay you a visitation. Followed the lady. In his city, I have followed the lady. She no longer works at the Holiday Inn, but she witnessed what happened that evening at his place, the first revival I preached for him. I'm getting somewhere. I follow her. She no longer works there. She works over another fancy swank place across town, down on the river. I've since talked to her about it. We had a blowout Sunday night at the Rock Church. My first Sunday night at the Rock Church. It blew up on Sunday night. I said, well, where in the world do you go from this? I've got to preach several weeks of revival, and it seemed like we've had our best on the first Sunday night. Where do you go from this? Monday morning, I was praying and through the course of the day in room 234. So help me God, room 234. This is one of the first times that it really impacted me. That I really knew that what happened in 1997 was the truth. That afternoon I'm praying, seeking God. And all of a sudden I pick up opposition in the spirit. And I felt like that what I was dealing with was there was some kind of fleshly opposition. That someone was standing in opposition. It was a hindrance to the furtherance of what God was trying to do in that city. I didn't understand all that. In the course of this, am I boring you? In the course of this, there's a knock at my door. Well, it frustrated me. First of all, my wife's not with me. And there's some guidelines that I live by. My wife's not with me. The maid, she has no business being in my room in the middle of the afternoon. I'm not going to the door. Absolutely not going to the door. So I sit there and the knock comes again. And this time it's a little bit stronger. I thought, who in the world is messing with me in the middle of the day? It's not Brother Young. He'd have called. He's got my phone number. I just kept sitting there. I thought, I'm going to wait him out. The third time it sounded like they were going to knock the door off the hinges. I thought, well, somebody needs something. And so, and this is one of the first times that any of this stuff started happening. I wasn't thinking about all that stuff that happened in 1996. I wasn't thinking about no old man or the Avenger. I didn't none of that stuff on my mind. And I swing the door open. And when I swing the door open, it still hasn't hit me, but there's a little old man standing outside the door. Room 234 at the Holiday Inn. Standing outside the door. Perfectly fit the description of the man that the other preacher had seen in a vision in 1997 that he said was going to leave that meeting with me. And he's standing there with his hands folded just like this. I'll never forget it. With his hands folded like this. And when I said yes, he lifted up his head and he pointed his finger. I remember it's as real as I'm looking at you. And he said, I have been sent here to tell you, to tell them, that the opposition has packed its bags. And it is leaving the city. I start Do you believe in angels? I run out of the room, chasing him down the hall, following him. He gets on the elevator. Why I did not get on that elevator with him, I do not know. I still kick myself today for not getting on that elevator with him. I did not get on that elevator with him. But as the doors went to shut, he stuck his finger out again. He said, remember, after today, it will never be the same. I don't know if you remember all of this. I don't know if you remember all this. I didn't know. I stepped in blind on Monday night. I told that church that. I had no clue of stuff that was going on. I have no clue of stuff. I had no clue of things that had been going on. I walked in and I started telling the church about what had happened in the Holiday Inn. Room 234 that afternoon. And Brother Miles Young just screamed. And when he screamed, that place come unglued on Monday night prayer meeting. People started, it just started exploding. What I didn't know is, while the Avengers paying me a visit at the Holiday Inn Express, Elk Grove, California, room 234, I find out later that the point of opposition, unbeknownst to anybody else, has packed their car down. And they just happened to stop to let everybody know we're out of town. Am I telling the truth? I'm not saying, and he'll tell you, I'm not saying there's not been another fight or there's not been more devils. I'm not, that's not what I'm saying here. I'm saying there's a season that God walks in and says, I don't care how many years you've dealt with this, I'm going to put my hand in it and I'm going to vindicate you. I've seen him two times. I seen him that time. The second time I seen him was the first time I went to Greg Wilbanks's. I was still traveling in a trailer. I didn't know how long that church had existed there. I don't even remember the number. Was it 50 or 75? 75. I had no clue that the church was fixing to have its 75th birthday. I had no clue. I didn't hardly know Greg Wilbanks. My wife will remember something moved into the room of the trailer that night. And it stirred her. She said, what is it? I said, he's standing at the end of the bed. She said, what's going on? I said, I don't know. Just be still. Just be still. And as audible, I don't care if you don't believe this, as audible as I'm speaking and it's coming through those microphones, he said, you go tell the church at Eva that I'm fixing to vindicate 75 years of prayer. I didn't know. I had no clue they was fixing to... When I went to Eva and I told them that God was going to vindicate 75 years of prayer and sacrifice, that place came unglued. I didn't know why it's coming unglued, but you knew, because you knew you were fixing to celebrate 75 years. God knows what He's doing. God's into... Kelly Patrick, I feel like telling you right now in the Holy Ghost, if you hook into what I'm preaching right now, something's coming to Hattiesburg. Something. God's going to move. Whatever it is that's keeping you up in the night, whatever it is that's messing with you, whatever it is that's standing in opposition to your dreams and visions, if you plug into the spirit of what's happening tonight, God's going to move it. I said, God's going to move it speedily. Speedily. All kinds of stuff started breaking out at Wilbanks's after that. You correct me if I got the story right. There's a lady that works, cleans the church. She didn't go to your church. Does she go to your church? The lady, wave your hand. Am I telling the truth? Were you there the night I preached this? You weren't there the night I preached this. Was she cleaning the church? Not being there not plugged into what had happened. And she walked into the sanctuary and there was an old man. Am I telling the truth? Standing up on a platform. Is that what happened? He was sitting in where? He was sitting in the chairs where the ministry sits, just looking around. You know what? We got to quit being afraid of talking about this stuff. I'm going on. I'm been preaching almost an hour, but I feel like going on just a little further. I get stuck. Get a plane. I get snowed in. In a city, a major city in this nation, I get snowed in. I don't see him. I don't, usually when I know he's there, it's a physical feeling. I can't explain it to you, but it's a physical feeling I get. Most of the time I don't see him. I know he's there because it's a physical feeling I get in my stomach. I fly in. Word gets out I'm there. Pretty predominant church in that city. Never preached there. News gets around. I'm in the airport. The man calls. He's a man of prayer, man of consecration. He said, it's not an accident. You're snowed in. He said, you're supposed to preach for me this weekend. I said, okay. Guys preaching, guys in revival with wasn't too happy. But what do you do? I was snowed in. So I preached that Sunday morning. I get close to preaching. And I start getting that physical feeling. I thought, no, I'm not here. Because it's two-sided. Not only will he come and vindicate and answer prayer, fulfill prophecy, but there's times that he walks in and you don't ever know what he's going to unveil. It may be sin. It may be on the platform. It may be your keyboard player. It's the first thing that comes to my mind. It may be on your leadership team. Maybe I should have told you this from the beginning. Maybe you wouldn't be frothing at the mouth right now. But I knew in my gut, this ain't all about being prayers being answered. There's sin. There's sin in this place. And he's here to clean it out. I thought, because the man's sincere and he wants revival, but he can't put his hand on the problem. And I got that sickening feeling in my stomach. I thought, no, I'm not here. No, not here. I don't know him. I don't know these people. I'm not going to come and tell these stories. These people look at me like I done fell out of a tree. Like some of you are looking at me. We get in the truck after church. So help me God, this happened. He said, there's no reason for you to stay out there at the airport. He said, where they gave you a room. He said, I'm going to move you over here. I said, okay. He said, in fact, I'm going to take your room, check you in, and make sure you get in. And I got this gnawing feeling on the bottom of my stomach. Lunch was horrible. Brother, when any meal's horrible for this fat boy, you know something's not right. I was miserable. I can't do this, God. So help me, God, Bishop, this happened. I'm following him in the rental truck. He pulls up into the Holiday Inn Express. I thought, you know, this is kind of strange. There's 4 or 5 hotels on every side. I thought, now, why couldn't he pick that one? Why couldn't he put me in the Mariner House? Why we got to go to the Holiday Inn Express? I thought, oh, it's just that. And it's gnawing. We walk up to the counter. They did. We walk up to the counter. The man's standing there. He's the district superintendent. He's standing there. He said, I'd like to check this young man in. He's preaching for me. The man said, here you go, Mr. Marks. He said, you'll be staying in room 234. That's coincidence, I'm sure. I can't even begin to explain to you the stuff that came down. I cannot even explain to you. the stuff that came down. I'm almost done. The Obama administration has slowed some of this from happening. When I was preaching in Illinois, I'm done. I'm finished. Felt the feeling. Started preaching about, kind of like I was preaching here tonight, preaching people out of their unbelief and stirring up their faith to believe that something was coming to change their circumstance, to revolutionize their problem. I don't know what possessed me to do it. My wife told me later, she said, I thought, my God, baby, he's lost it. 15 years, Mattoon, Illinois had been in a population decline. 15 years. Economically, it didn't take the recent economic plunge. They were already in economic crises. I knew some of that. So I started preaching. And I tell you, right in the middle of preaching, I just started prophesying. I started prophesying jobs. I started prophesying to the ground. My wife would tell you that. I started prophesying to the ground. To the earth. I had no clue what I was doing. I started stirring those people up. Something's coming into this city to change the face of this problem. God's going to give this church exposure. You hadn't done everything you've done all the years and built this church up to 400 or 500 people to level out and it not go anywhere else. I didn't feel a whole lot of goosebumps saying it, but I just felt like that God was coming in there to vindicate those people of their faithfulness and their prayers. They hooked on, they danced and shouted, they went along like some of you. Something's going to hit this building in a few minutes. You hear what I'm telling you? Something's fixing to hit this house that's going to leave us different from this day forward. I'm done. I know how long I've been preaching. I said, I'm almost done. I said, but I'm telling some of you, you're looking at the day, right now, today, that everything in your life, everything in your church, everything in your ministry is fixing to change. It's going to start right now. Almost a year later, I got a phone call. When I answered the phone, I could hear it was a bunch of people talking in a board meeting, and it was a commotion. And I could hear the pastor saying, "My God, my God!" And I couldn't understand it. Finally, I got to where I could listen to him. He said, "You are not going to believe what has broke out in Mattoon, Illinois." He said they have figured out in China or somewhere, and they are building these huge, these massive plants. And they are burning coal clean. They have learned how to burn it clean. He said, but in order for them to do it, he said, there's got to be a high, not just a high amount of coal underneath the ground. He said, but there's got to be a high amount of sulfur underneath the ground. God, this is so help me God, this is the truth. That boardroom was in a stir. It was in a frenzy. I said, well, okay, tell me more. He said, they have decided to build one of those in the States. He said, it came down between Waco, Texas, and of all places in America, Mattoon, Illinois. Now we're talking about thousands of jobs. We're talking about the real estate market recovering and going back up. We're talking about major population growth. We're talking about new businesses. We're talking about fresh life. So now, they said it. So they went to Waco and they came here and they tested. And he said, for some reason, when they got